This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. And today, our special guest, actually two, Travis Myers, incoming president for Plains Cotton Growers, and Justin Edwards with Apollo Ag Tech. It's all ahead here in just a few moments. First off, let's talk bulk product exports. USDA economist Mark Kinner.
Wheat exports are $2.1 billion, which is down 29% from the previous year. Corn exports through February 2024 were $5 billion, up 4% from the previous year. Soybean exports through February 24, $17.6 billion, down 30% from the previous year. And cotton exports are $2.2 billion, down 5% from the previous year.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Travis Myers. Travis is a producer from O'Donnell. And for those who don't know where O'Donnell, Texas is, what's a good way without having to get a map out?
We're straight south of Lubbock on 87, and we have an office there that you can recognize O'Donnell by. That's about it. So 87 doesn't run through town, but it runs beside it, but we're pretty small.
Now, anybody who's been around the area will know this as well, but there was somebody who kind of famous from O'Donnell, and his name's Travis Myers, but the no. Second most famous guy from O'Donnell
is Dan Blocker, who played Hoss on the Bonanza series, and my uncle was actually in the same grade that he was in, you know, and so he had quite a few stories to tell about Old Hoss when he was growing up. You know, they had a grocery store there in town, and he would carry out, you know, 100-pound bags on his shoulder, on each shoulder, you know, but he was quite a character.
Well, let's talk a little about your operation. You and I have had the opportunity to visit in the past, so I know you've got a diversified operation that's going, but primarily cotton, right? Tell us more about what the Myers Farm.
Okay. Well, we are truly a family farm. I farm with my two sons. My daughter is also involved. She's actually an ag teacher in Stratford, so that one's long distance. But the other two are on hand, and we, like I say, we are pretty diversified. We have a lot of cotton, but we also run a lot of cattle. We're in a show calf operation, and so that's a pretty hands-on type of operation for cattle, you know, but. We do a lot of hay and, of course, to feed the cattle and stuff, but we farm quite a few acres, and so stay pretty busy.
Well, let's talk about growing cotton. Once we go south of Lubbock, we've got some irrigated areas, obviously, but quite a few dry land acres of cotton. Why is it cotton? Why are we growing cotton around this region of Texas, and why is it so important that we have a safety net for those producers?
Well, like I say, in fact, we're about 80% dry land in our operation, so we've got a lot of dry land, and I guess the best part about it is we get to work with God every day, you know, when we're waiting on these rains to help make our crop, but like I say, our soil is very well adapted. You know, we can we don't have those hard clays that burn up and in the summertime so bad. We've got a lot of sand, and so and the way our rainfall patterns are, well, we just seem to be able to, on most years or some years, we get to make a really good dryland crop, and there's a good bit of margin in it when you can do that without having those irrigation costs involved in it. So. It's just cotton country, you know.
You mentioned old Hoss would haul out 100-pound bags on his shoulder at a grocery store back then. Things have really changed in our rural communities. I just wonder if we weren't growing cotton in those areas and there wasn't another crop to grow, would there be a rural community there?
Oh, I tell people that all the time, you know, that wonder about this cotton industry, you know, but, you know, right now our industry probably supports 80 to 90% of the people in our county. And if we all went back to grass, you know, like it used to be 100 years ago, there would probably be 200 people live in Dawson County instead of, you know, the amount that we have today. You know, so it's vitally important to our, you know, to our economy in these small towns.
And it spills over into the local schools as
sure,
well.
Sure.
You're the incoming president for Plains Cotton Growers. What's the importance of groups like Plains Cotton Growers? And then what's the role of a board member for that? Because it's one thing to be a member of an organization, but to step up and be a board member.
Well, it's all about, I think the new buzzword, you know, is communication now, you know, and it's so important for us to get our story out, you know. I'm on several national boards, and, you know, we get hit every day with this transparency and circularity and sustainability. Well, that's what we live every day, you know, is that. But the consumer that buys his clothes at Walmart doesn't, you know, they don't know or realize how much we are put at risk each year to make a crop and the work that we have to put in each year to make a crop, you know, and for those people to hear our story and have some way to tie that T-shirt back to Myers Farms, and that's a wonderful thing about technology now, is there's the ability to do that. You know, I can trace my bale of cotton, you know, and it's probably going to go overseas, but it can be traced all the way back to a T-shirt. And I think that's important for those people to be able to buy something. You know, we want to promote U.S. cotton as much as we can, you know, because that solves a lot of circularity problems when you know that it came from the U.S.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's a debate that goes on from time to time in other industries, and not trying to dig into the debate much, but the idea of traceability, you've had it for a long time now, the ability to trace that belt back. How important is that? And obviously, there were concerns about doing that early on from producers. Has there been any downside that you've seen from that?
There really hasn't been, you know. Of course, we're all independent, you know, farmers, and worried a little bit about government interference and stuff like that. But I've not seen any downside, you know. I don't do anything that on our farm that I'm embarrassed about. And the sustainability deal, I want my farm to be there for my grandkids, you know. And so we're focused on that, and that's the only way we're still in business, you know, is some of that. But we're not scared of our story, you know. We've got a good story to tell, and we're proud of it, and hope that people will respond to it and buy U.S. cotton.
So good to see you. Congratulations on becoming the incoming president for Plains Cotton Growers. We're looking forward to your 2 years of service, right?
That's right.
Okay. Travis Myers is a producer from O'Donnell, Texas, incoming president for Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We're at Plains Cotton Growers annual meeting, Overton Hotel in Lubbock, and I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
West Texas Attachments is your one-stop shop for skid steer attachments for your farm, ranch, or dairy. Whether you need hay spikes, buckets, brush and rock grapples, brush mowers, or post drivers, West Texas Attachments has them. West Texas Attachments serves the entire Texas Panhandle, South Plains, and Low Rolling Plains, and they offer low-cost delivery to your area. When it comes to your skid steer attachments, look no further than West Texas Attachments. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to find the tools you need today.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Justin Edwards. Justin is with Apex. And Justin, first off, great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Good to be here.
Okay, so a little background about Justin. Where'd you grow up? Are you native of West Texas?
Yeah, I actually grew up in a small town north Panhandle, Texoma. I actually lived on the kind of split halfway, lived on the Texas side, but yeah, that's kind of where I grew up at.
Now, the interesting thing about Texoma, you mentioned it, it's right on the line, yep. runs right through town. So do you have any skirmishes from the Oklahoma side of Texoma and the Texas side?
No, it's kind of weird because I lived on the Texas side, but I actually went to high school and everything in Oklahoma. So it's kind of a weird deal, but no, it's all good.
Okay, so we mentioned that you're with Apex, so tell us...
It's actually Apollo Ag Technologies. The Apex is our kind of our parent company.
Okay.
And so we're called Apollo Ag Technologies.
Well, how about you tell us about Apollo then?
Well, we're based in California, and we're wanting to develop a market here in Texas. I've been with the company for probably about 3 months now. Our main focus here in Texas is water treatment irrigation. I know up here the big thing is water quality, sodium, bicarbonates, and so that's kind of our main focus right now, leaching sodium and freeing up calcium in the soil.
Now, we're not necessarily talking about the irrigation side of this. We're not talking about pivots. We're actually talking about doing something to the water before we actually put it out. Is that a good way to do it?
Yes. It doesn't matter if it's a pivot, a drip system, whatever. Our system will go on before it even gets into the field. So that's treating the water before it goes into whatever system you have, whether it's a center pivot, whether it's subsurface drip, micro sprinklers, whatever.
Now, for somebody who might be sitting out going, hey, I still need this. I've used this system for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. What are some reasons why we ought to consider a system from Apollo?
Well, the main thing is, in this, wherever you're at in the Panhandle, water is getting scarce. And so what we do is help you be as efficient with what little water we have left in spots. Because that's where everything starts. That's, you know, without water we have nothing. And so we're helping the farmer to be as efficient with that resource as possible.
Now, you are moving into Texas, but the company actually has been in business in, what, Central California, Central Valley?
Yes, yep. Fresno is where it's based out of. And it's been there for, before that, it was a division of called U.S. Water, and they were there for many. I mean, the company's been around for a long time.
So I would imagine anybody who's been working in water in California, especially with all of the challenges California has with water, knows a thing about water.
Yes.
Okay, if we want to keep up with Apollo and find out more, how can we do that?
There, you can go to apolloagtechnologies.com. That's kind of their website. And then, obviously, LinkedIn. There's a Apollo Ag Technologies on LinkedIn. And then I have my contact info will be on there as well.
Okay. So, once again, that's apolloagtechnologies.com,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So good to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time, and try not to get into any more of those cross-border skirmishes.
Yes, sir.
Justin Edwards, again, is with Apollo and joins us from Lubbock. We're at the Texas Cotton Ginners annual meeting and expo going on at the Civic Center. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Couple of guests today, Travis Myers with Plains Cotton Growers, Justin Edwards with Apollo Ag Tech.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
This week's USDA Crop Progress Report is showing that early spring crop planting and such is proceeding at a pretty average pace, but
the big attention grabber is still the winter wheat condition,
which is better than we're used to seeing. USDA meteorologist Mark Brusberg says, of course, last year the crop at this time was also an attention grabber, but in a bad way. You may remember that at this time last year, only 27% of the nation's winter wheat crop was rated good to excellent. Ah, but nationally, as we started this week,
56% of the winter wheat crop was in good, excellent condition this week. That's the same as last week, and it's above the five-year average of 47%.
The wheat in some places is better than 56% good to excellent. It's 68% in Nebraska and Oklahoma. So we've got so far a
big turnaround.
Very big. Gary Crawford, Washington.